Morning. Great to see you on Friday morning. I'm going to share a few things, a few stories. I recently went on a trip to Papua New Guinea. So I'm going to share a couple of stories from there. And I think some of the things connect very deeply with what Easter is all about. So just a few weeks ago, this is part of the team. So this team here was part of the team. So put that next one up. And some of the guys from Australia, a couple of locals there in their garb. Didn't get to wear the garb, but anyway, the locals look great in that. So all through Papua New Guinea, 850 different languages and people. So the team goes up to do remote area health training. So it's very remote, no phones, no electricity, no running water, nothing like that. So we went to some remote villages, and we've been to this place before, about 8 years ago. One of the villages we went to, there was a conflict that arose. So there's a gold mine not far from there, and some of the young men had been fighting about who was going to get the gold. And they started hacking each other up with some knives, and a couple of them were injured, and they came to the village we were at, because we had some nurses, and they came to get some help. Not only help, though, they also wanted revenge. So the thing about it is, you know that scene in Crocodile Dundee when the guy says, "That's not a knife"? I can tell you that's not a knife. This is what a knife looks like, something like this in PNG. So that's a knife. They're about this big, and people carry them around, most of the time as tools, not weapons. So these are real knives. So these guys came to the village, wanted to be attended to, but also looking for revenge. And the idea is, you don't have to just go for the people who got you, you go for anyone in their family. Anyone from their village, they're fair game. So people, these young guys were walking through the village with knives like this. One guy had a spear and another guy had a sword. And we were in the village at the time, about 8 years ago. Pretty scary. That afternoon, one of the workers in our team, who's a local, he went down to the boats because he was trying to get back to his village, because he was from the village that the people, they were after these people. But as he got into the boat, he got slashed across the back with a machete. And he finally made, he was okay, but he got away. So he just escaped. That night we had a meeting in the village. So I remember being in this house. We had about 50 people around us. There was all sorts of conversations going on in this place. And we told them we were going to leave the village early because of the violence, because these young guys were kind of going crazy. They were very sorry. After this, they had what they call a talk sorry. So everybody came around, we shook their hands, and it seemed as if that was the end of the matter. And so, you know, we did leave the next day, but we went back since and we had good relationships with these people. And we said to them, you know, but if you want teens to come, you really have to make it that there's safety. You can't have people running around with knives like this. So that was 8 years ago, and we have been back since. We thought the issue was resolved. Fast forward to this trip we've just had, March 2023. Went back to the same village again to do some training. We travelled on the river. It's about a 6-hour trip. We got to the village and they had a traditional sing-sing, which is people, you know, having guitars and drums and welcoming you into the village. And that was great. We went into a little house which had no walls that would keep you cool, and we exchanged greetings, which was all great. Then something that happened that was unexpected. So the next picture, this is some of the guys. This is actually the guys who were there. These were the leaders of the village. And they were coming to welcome us, and they wanted to have a conversation. And so we noticed something on the ground. So that thing on the ground at the front there, the next one is a close-up of that. It was a rooster. So let's go back. Can we get a close-up of the rooster? There he is. Oh, next one, yeah. They had a rooster on the ground. Now, we called him Rudolph, but anyway. They had a rooster, and this rooster was going to be a gift to us for the purpose of reconciliation. So the trouble occurred 8 years before. We'd had a long talk with everyone, and for us, we're concerned, the matter was dealt with and completely taken care of. That was the end of it. We were happy to return to the village. We weren't offended. It had been dealt with years before, but in their minds, the offence still existed. They still felt guilty. They still felt ashamed of what had happened back then. And they felt compelled to offer us the traditional gift of reconciliation. That's what the rooster was about. As human beings, we can carry guilt and shame with us. Sometimes we can carry these things for a long time. that we might have already, there might have already been amends made in some way with the person or the people that were offended or we were offended by. But deep down, guilt can still remain. Shame can remain. We can be like the people in the village. Even after things have been said and done, we can still carry this sense. We have memories that might cause us pain. And maybe this is actually crossover here, and there's all sorts of words. So we have fear, guilt, gone astray, oppression, rejection, brokenness, grief, shame. There's all sorts of words on there, and we can carry these things in our lives. Sometimes we carry these things for our whole life. We carry them for a long time. And they may not be on the surface. They may be kind of underneath, hidden. And when they're hidden inside, they can affect us. They can lead to a diminished life. Sometimes they can lead to depression or anxiety. They can eat away our confidence in life. The guilt and the shame can sit with us often for decades. It takes away our sense of well-being. It sucks the joy from our life when we're carrying these things around. The people in the village felt guilt and shame for what had happened all those years ago. And they were still carrying it. They felt we have to do something. We still have this feeling inside that things are not right. So they presented the chicken as part of their ancient ritual. And the idea is the gift helps remove the sense of guilt and shame. It helps put things right with the person that was offended. Something else happened on that trip that was quite exciting. We drilled a well. Now, we didn't think we'd be able to drill a well. We didn't have the equipment. We just had a few shovels. We had a few pumps made of PVC pipes. Nothing else, though. But we went to the village, and we started talking about water quality. How are you guys going with water quality? And they said, we drink from the river. And people are often sick because of that. They don't have any other source of water. So we said, well, maybe we should think about drilling a well. Do you have any equipment? And first of all, they said no. But a few hours later, it was a miracle. Somebody produced this. They produced a 12-meter-long auger which drills into the ground. It had been in the village for decades and no one had used it. So got around and started to drill a well. And as you drill, you take out each layer of dirt. You sort of drill down and you take out and you start to see a picture of each layer of what's underneath the surface. So it started, there was clay. It was kind of really heavy clay. And that was down for a while, for a couple of metres at least, there was clay. And then there was a layer of sand. It was dark sand. The good thing about sand, if you have sand, water can penetrate into the sand and you can actually have a well. And we got to 7 metres and there were 2 layers of sand in those 7 metres. That's as deep as we got, but it was deep enough. Now it turns out somebody else had, under their village hut, a 6-meter-long piece of 100mm PVC pipe. So these guys, so what we did was took little cuts, we had some saws, and they cut the PVC, but that every 2 centimetres all the way along. The idea being that if you put that in the ground, the water can seep in, but the dirt doesn't come in. So this was perfect for making a well. The pipe ended up in the hole, water began to flow. After a couple of hours pumping, it became clear. Here's the well. And the next one, I think, shows the well. So they started that the water was coming out from underneath the ground and it got clearer and clearer as the day went on, as they kept pumping. It was quite amazing. We were amazed. We didn't have the equipment. It was there. Started to think about that drill. Before we drilled, what was underneath was a mystery. All we could see was the grass on the ground. We didn't know what the soil was like underneath or if there would be water. But as the drill went down, it began to reveal what was underneath. Clay, 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 sand, more clay, and then some more sand. You couldn't see any of that from the surface. It was all under the surface. It was all underneath. Because we found sand, water would flow and the well was possible. I think our hearts are a bit like this. Under the surface, there can be things in our hearts, things that have happened to us, things that have been laid down in the history of our life. We all have history. Just like the river lays down layers on the side, our lives are like that. Things get laid down in our life. Things we've done, hurts we've experienced, regrets that we have about the past. Other people probably don't see many of these, but deep down, underneath the surface, there can be grief and guilt and shame from the experiences that have accumulated in our lives. So under the surface, the people in the village, they held a collective grief, a collective sense of guilt and shame. They felt as individuals as well. They were ashamed of events that happened 8 years before. They were deeply sorry for what had happened. Now, probably in everyday life, that didn't affect them. But as soon as they knew that we were coming to the village, those feelings came up again. And they said, we've got to do something about this. We've got to try and resolve these things that are deep down, these feelings of guilt and shame. How do we put things right? Now, today is Good Friday. It's the anniversary of the day when Jesus was crucified. We read through the gospel stories in the New Testament of what happened. And you say, you know, how can this be considered good? What happened to Jesus was a terrible, painful death. It was so bad. And yet for 2,000 years, people have been celebrating this day and saying this is Good Friday. Something good has happened. For some, it's the highlight of their year. I look forward to what happens on Good Friday. What happened on Good Friday? I want to read from a vision of a prophet given hundreds of years before, writing about someone that would later come and be known as the suffering servant. So this is the writings of Isaiah, and it's chapter 53. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the Old Testament, and in all ancient cultures actually, there's a system of sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they occurred in a tabernacle, which is a tent, and there was the Ark of the Covenant where the sacrifice would be given. Because people carry guilt and shame and many other things, they need a place to let go of those things for them to be dealt with. Just like the people in the village, they needed to do something. They needed a way to have have something reconciled about what had happened. You find this in every country of the world. People offer something and forgiveness and reconciliation is needed. And some might say, well, we don't do that in our culture. I don't think maybe we do. I mean, a young man offends his girlfriend. He might say sorry, but the gift of flowers makes a difference. Or she might say, well, I'll make you a meal. Now, these are stereotypes. But we tend to want to do something and offer something when we want to put things right. Deep down, words don't seem to be enough. Something has to be done. And this offering helps with the reconciliation. It helps with the feelings we have about ourselves and about others. So in the Old Testament, people would offer sacrifices to God to try and sort out the feelings of guilt and shame. They thought, well, we feel estranged from God, we feel we've offended God, and so we want to sort out these feelings that we have. We want to put things right. But the problem, the New Testament reflects back and said, the problem with the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they would never deal with the issue. You couldn't have assurance. You couldn't be sure that what you'd done was actually going to sort out the issues and give you a sense of relief and actually reconcile you to God. Even if you were sorry, you could never be sure that you were forgiven. Much like the people in the village, we had thought that was dealt with, but they carried it. They carried the guilt and the shame. They needed a greater sense of confidence that things were made right. So they made their offering to try and put it right. in the story of the Bible, something profound happens when Jesus comes on the scene. He does some amazing things in his life, but the direction of his life is focused towards the end of his life. Consistently, we see it focusing towards the cross. About half of the material in the Gospels is about the journey to the cross. It's all heading in that direction. We know that Jesus suffered terribly. The Romans were in charge. They knew how to punish their enemies. They invented crucifixion because it was the cruelest way you could make someone suffer, and that would terrify everybody else. Don't go against us. So at one level, Jesus is dying as a political dissident. Claims were made about him that he was the Son of God, that he was a king. Now, he didn't deny those claims, but that claim is a challenge to Caesar, because Caesar wants to be the only king, and if you challenge that, you're going to get in trouble with Caesar. Now, Jesus didn't mean that he was coming to fight Caesar particularly, but Caesar doesn't tolerate any rivals. So to punish him, the system makes an example of him and sends him to the cross. So on that Friday, the first Good Friday, he's nailed to a cross. He's crucified. Many other people were crucified. It's not something that was unique to Jesus. There's nothing essentially different about the crucifixion of Jesus. Many others were crucified in the same way. On the surface, there's nothing different. But when we look at these ancient stories and prophecies about this person who was to come, we realize that under the surface, something profound was taking place. Let's read again. So this is verse 5 again. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that ancient text lets us know what is actually happening under the surface. He is suffering on the cross like many others, but he's not suffering because of his own wrongdoing. He's suffering. He's being pierced, crushed, punished for our transgressions and iniquities, for the things that we've done wrong. And it's by those wounds that we are made whole, that we are healed, that our reconciliation with God takes place. So somehow all the words that are on the cross there, the things that lie underneath, the things we carry in our lives from our histories and our circumstances, they are placed on him. The things in our lives are transferred to him on the cross. He carries them. On the cross, an innocent person takes the pain and the shame and the guilt and the sin upon himself. He doesn't deserve it. He takes it from us. If we were to take that drill and we were to drill down in the history of humanity, we'd see all this stuff. We'd see all the crime. We'd see the atrocities. We'd see all the words spoken, all the things that have been done in history, and it would be terrible. If we went down into any of our lives, there'd be things in there. We say, well, I don't want that on the surface. I'd rather it be there. Maybe things from long ago. And on the cross, all of these things transferred to Jesus. He accepts them willingly. He says, I'll take it. He becomes the sacrifice of reconciliation that we need to restore us to God. And so that all of these things are taken from us, so that we can be free. That's the meaning behind the cross. It's a terrible and a painful event for Jesus. But under the surface, something else is taking place. There's a transaction taking place. Our sin and shame is transferred to him. He carries it all. He takes it from us. And if he takes it from us, it's no longer with us. He has taken it from us. And that's the essential message of the Christian faith. It's not about self-improvement. It's not about fixing your life yourself. The good news is that God has come in the person of Jesus, and on his own initiative, he's accepted the price that it costs for us to be free. For reconciliation between humanity and God, and for each one of us and God to take place. I wonder if you know that that's true for you. Is that something that you feel confident in? Is that something in your life you've realized, that was for me? He did that for me. Jesus took upon himself the sin and shame and all the other things that are there. He carried that for me. If a friend did that, how amazing if someone came and did that for us, we'd say, I'm incredibly grateful for what you've done. The good thing too is that this has happened 2,000 years ago. This is something that has already taken place. Through the cross, God has made a statement to humanity. I want to reconcile. I already know what's there. I know what's under the surface. It's not hidden to me. That doesn't stop me from wanting to reconcile to you. I want to reconcile. My love for you is great. I've sent my son Jesus. The cross is the place of reconciliation. He puts that statement out there into history and says, I want reconciliation. That's what God says to us through the cross. The people in the remote village of PNG, they felt guilt and shame towards us for something that had happened years before. We were surprised. We didn't feel that towards them. And so they felt they needed to offer this gift of reconciliation. The matter had been settled as far as we were concerned, but they still felt guilty, so they wanted to offer the gift. When Jesus was on the cross, he said several things. He saw his enemies before him. These are the people that had punished him, had put him on the cross, had accused him. To those people, he said, Father, forgive them, or they do not know what they're doing. That says something about the heart of Jesus. For his enemies to be forgiven. Out of the sheer physical exhaustion, he also said, I'm thirsty. Another thing that he said, very understandable in that context. But the last thing he said is the most significant. And the fact that he said it on the cross, remember, he's taking upon himself all the sin, all the shame, all the load of things that have happened in humanity. He's accepting that and taking it upon himself. You know what he said? It is finished. So this is a picture of Jesus. Let's go to the next one. And it's those words, the last words of Jesus, it is finished. A full and complete reconciliation has been achieved. All of the things that lie under the surface, he's taken all of those things. For us as individuals, for the whole human race, he's taken them from us. They've been placed on him. He's carried them. And now it's finished. It's like this has happened. All of those things that were under the surface of our lives have been completely paid for. The last thing, it is finished. It is completed. And if it's finished, that means that we don't have to carry them anymore. The significance of Good Friday is that Jesus has taken these things upon himself willingly. Despite the violence that was done against him and his suffering, that's why we call it Good Friday. The work has been done. Reconciliation has been achieved. The bill has been paid. The gift has been given. We can receive that and know with confidence that we have reconciliation with God. He's carried our sin and our shame. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Good Friday. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice of his life, his body, his blood that brought reconciliation for us. We remember him today. Thank you that this is the sort of God that you are. You reach in and take our pain, shame, our sin, our guilt, and all those things, you take them upon yourself. Thank you, you want to connect with us, whatever's happened in our lives. Thank you, you offer us reconciliation. And that everything needed for that is finished. Thank you, Lord. The night before these things happened, Jesus gathered his disciples in a meal, and he reinterpreted the Passover meal to remembering him, what he would do for them the next day. He said this is reading from Mark 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Remember me," the body, the bread, the blood, the cup. This act of reconciliation, not just words, body and blood, it is finished. Where can the helpers come forward? This is a picture that gives a symbolic meaning of what happens at communion. From the cross, Jesus suffered, and people from all nations, people from all backgrounds can come, and they can receive what he's done for them. Our sin, our shame, our guilt has been taken away on the cross. His blood was shed, his body is given, that we can be free. So we'll come forward. The elements will be here. Take a piece of bread, a cracker, the cup. Remember him. Remember the reconciliation that God has given for us. Come and accept that gift. Everybody's welcome to remember him. It is finished. Whatever's gone on in your life, whatever is down in the depths, Jesus forgives all sin. He offers us reconciliation with God. It is finished. Come and receive his grace. Come and remember what he's done for us.